Hello, I'm Alison Larkin, writer, comedian, narrator, and host of the Jane Austen podcast. Join me as we embark on a journey through Austen's timeless stories, starting with Pride and Prejudice. The Jane Austen podcast with Alison Larkin is available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello and welcome to the IGN UK podcast. This is number 348. I am Daniel Krupa and I'm joined by Christopher Tilley.
Hello, pod people.
Rory Patrick Powers.
Hi, you just revealed my second name to everyone.
That like really trips off the tongue nicely. Rory Patrick Powers.
It's
a good spacing of plosives.
Yeah, it's nice. Patrick's been a family name passed down from generation to generation.
There you go. Lovely bit of detail.
Some Rory lore.
If this is 348, are we going to do something special for 350?
Yeah, probably not at this point. Who's on that? Dale, you on that? Yeah, Dale's nodding his head.
I did think, like, it's been so long since someone has said the actual number of the podcast on the podcast.
Yeah, well,
that's terrifying.
That's why it gets away from you. But we are doing a special 350. I think we're doing, like, Nebworth. If you want tickets, how do you get them, Rory? It's www.
Four, five, dot org. I'll text you them. You're on my number.
.org. Right. So this was actually a fairly big week for news. Lots of announcements. And we're going to talk about Apple. We're going to have a section called Tilly on TV. So look out for that one, everyone.
what's that one about?
Whoa, you wait.
I won't spoil
just
it.
Just you wait. First off, we're going to talk about, I guess, the PlayStation 4 stuff. A lot of this has been leaked over a considerable amount of time. We've actually seen the PlayStation Slim, but it was officially unveiled at an event held by Sony in New York this week. And I'm going to go through some of the details, and then I guess we'll talk about whether we think it's a good idea, whether you get one, and the pros and cons.
Okay.
So the first thing is the PlayStation Slim. It's a slimmer, lighter, more energy-efficient version of the regular PS4, out September 15th, so very soon, and it costs $259. Pounds.
You sound like you're trying to sell it to me. You're like, it's good, it's affordable, it's great.
How
available at your closest retail store.
You can pay me whenever you want.
It's gonna be a tough sell for me, Dan, but I'll let you
know. So this is actually a pretty simple one. We've had this quite a lot with recent consoles, like midway through the cycle, that bring out a compact version. Does the size of a console really bother you?
Not at all.
Because it sits under your TV. It's like, I never really got the idea that that's that appealing.
And equally, why can't they kick off with the slim version?
Well, I think...
Does the technology have to... Does it take 2 years for them to figure out how to make it smaller? Or is it there at the beginning and it's just a way of getting people...
How do you know the original one wasn't a slimmer version of one that they already had? So this is like a super...
It started off so fast.
It's massive. It's like a 4x4. We get
smaller at this point. It's been eating celery soup for weeks. The thing is, with consoles, they're actually always changing internally when they source cheaper components. Yeah. So the internals are always changing on consoles. But this always happens mid-cycle. I don't think it really matters. The only thing that would actually find more appealing is if it's quieter.
Yeah.
That's a really annoying thing with consoles when they're like...
But even still, in this day and age, like...
I don't know, my PS4 still gets a bit angry.
Really?
You're an Xbox dude. Engineered to look like a somewhere else.
It's just like, it looks like the black box of an airplane, essentially. They just went for
Love it if you take it off inside, it's like something the size of a Game Boy Pocket.
Yeah.
And it's just housed in this massive, well-ventilated space. So this is actually not much to talk about. No. It's just like, if you want to get a PS4, you haven't got one already, this is the cheap entry point, and it's good.
That's honestly the biggest selling point for me, is that it's like new features, and also it's cheap.
It's really a cheap one.
Yeah.
Okay, so now the second thing is the PlayStation Neo, which was... unveiled as the PlayStation Pro this week. First off, Pro, what do you make of this name? So, at the conference, he said, Pro, just so you know, is short for professional.
What?
Really?
I thought it was propane.
Prostitute.
The PlayStation Prostitute.
So it is the PlayStation Pro. And Mark Cerny, who is the architect of the PlayStation Pro and the original PS4, said, This is not the start of a new console generation, nor is it a console that's going to blur the lines between generations. So at E3 this year, Chris, Microsoft, at the end of their conference, teased consumers and fans with a console they're working on called Project Scorpio. And I think we're going to find out more information about that next year. But effectively, that's a new console.
Yeah.
And it'll be way more powerful than anything we've currently got. This is kind of like... I don't know, a slightly souped up version. So
it's like an iteration.
It's an iteration.
Yeah.
So it's like the
half-assed,
the iPhone 6S.
Yeah.
You say it's half-assed. So let me just go through some of the details. So it's more than double the power. Mm. It'll be able to do 4K gaming. Mm. It'll have larger, so it'll run faster, and that's essentially it. And also it'll offer 4K video content to your TV if you have a 4K TV.
I was watching, so we were just doing a news video on, like during the presentation, they released some of the gameplay, like a gameplay trailer for Mass Effect Andromeda.
Yeah.
And they started the whole thing off with like, you know, welcome to the gameplay trailer for Mass Effect Andromeda. First off, if you don't have a 4K TV, stop now, find one, and continue. And it's like, and all the comments are just being like, do you think your demographic all have access to a 4K TV? Mm. I don't even think I've seen a 4K TV. I don't think we're at a point yet where those are an accessible enough piece of technology to like make that a selling point of your new tech. Because like Netflix can stream in 4K. What's that mean? No one has 4K TVs. No one has the data on their internets to be able to like...
You don't need fast data to do 4K Netflix.
Reasonably, yeah.
No, you don't need like math. You need like between 10 and 15.
Really?
Yeah.
But even then, is it not compressed?
Yeah. But all Netflix is compressed.
That's true. That's a true point, Daniel.
Yeah, I think more people have 4K too. If 4K is
maybe I'm just poor.
But 4K is going to be one of those technologies that is smuggled in with all new TVs now.
Yeah.
Just as like 3D was. When you bought a widescreen HD TV, for a good period of time, it was also 3D. 3D never took off on TV. But if it did, it had a big install base just in case... Yep. It did take off. And I think, you know, if you buy a new TV in the next couple of years, you're going to get a 4K one.
Yeah.
Because they're actually gone down in price quite a lot. So I understand what you're saying, but I guess the forward advance of technology, you have to, like, push it forward otherwise. And then they've also...
I feel like that's going to be a running theme in today's podcast.
The thing is, I think some people are being incensed. And I think maybe the pro epithet is part of that because they feel like if you don't have that one, you're not as into your gaming.
Mm.
But, like... It's not like they've left anyone behind. Like, the regular PlayStation 4 and the Slim is going to play every single game that comes out on the PS4 Pro. It's just like if you have a more powerful PC, you'll be able to enjoy those PC games at higher resolutions and better frame rates.
I guess just as me being someone who doesn't necessarily care a lot about those features, like, I find it hard to respond to the consoles on that level, but there are people who do.
This is my question. Who is going to buy these? Or are the majority of people going to wait for the Scorpio?
I think so. The Scorpio is like the weirdest thing in all of this because that like shakes things up because if that comes out next year or shortly thereafter, that's coming out really soon and kind of pushing things forward.
Mm.
The only problem with that is developers want to make games for as many people as possible. That's how they'll make their money. If the Scorpio is way more powerful, then not many people want to make games just for that because they'll want to catch all the people who have a regular PS4.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it might want to march ahead into the future, but if everyone's still enjoying games on the Xbox S and the PlayStation Pro and the PlayStation Slim, then I think developers will gravitate towards the biggest install base. So it's kind of a weird thing.
Isn't that the same with any upgrade of consoles when they move to the next generation?
Yeah, but the thing is with that one, it's coming out a bit sooner, whereas I think Sony's on... Basically, then they're on separate kind of release schedules.
Yeah.
So it's kind of bucking the trend and going a bit forward. So I don't know.
I'm not getting one.
Well, that's the thing. I think that's why I think the Pro thing is not such a kind of stern proposition because it's like, hey, if you've got a bit of disposable cash... And you've got a 4K TV and you want, you know, like the 6S on an iPhone.
Yeah.
If you want the latest features, here it is. But you're actually not, all the people who have a regular PS4 shouldn't feel excluded by its existence.
Yeah.
Will I be able to play all my 4K Blu-rays on it?
You will not, Christopher.
What?
You will not be able to play your one 4K Blu-ray on. So this was obviously not going to say in a press conference because people go, ah. So the Xbox...
Like an audience
people,
go,
yeah.
Oh, have you been in front of an audience? They're merciless with that.
You know what it would be like. It's like when you're doing a Wii bowling and you accidentally throw the ball backwards. Everyone would jump up and go, rah, and spin around in circles and just anger.
I know. Yeah. Imagine if they found out they didn't have a 4K Blu-ray in it.
Kick off.
It's not got... What?
What?
So... while it will stream 4K and from Netflix and the like, it does not have a built-in 4K Blu-ray player.
So will my non-4K Blu-rays play on it?
Yes, it will.
Okay. We're safe.
So why that why that I think is more prominent as a decision is because recently Xbox brought out their slim version. But it turns out their slim version is also a bit more like the PlayStation Pro, as in it has a lot of the features the PlayStation Pro is touting. So it does HDR, it does 4K streaming, and it does like all those features as well. So it's a bit weird that we live in a world where the Xbox budget option is the same as the PlayStation 4 Pro option. So it's all kind of muddled up now.
I don't know.
I mean,
what do you mean? What's that? I don't know.
As in, like PlayStation better step it up.
You just said that you didn't like what PlayStation was offering, but now I said that it's Xbox's standard offering. You're well chuffed.
Look,
what is that?
They call me the stirrer. I just stir
the pot.
They call
you the confuser.
So what does all this mean?
I just bugger all, I think.
It means if you want to get better specs, they are available.
Yeah.
You can purchase them if you have the money. Equally, I guess, for people who haven't made the leap yet to the next-gen consoles, maybe they're picking up a PS4 for the first time. Now they have a chance between a PlayStation 4 and a PlayStation Pro.
I mean, I don't have a PS4.
Exactly.
Or a PS3, so... Yeah, I'd be tempted by the
because these aren't necessarily just marketed to people who have PlayStations already. Wider.
So I think the why they've chosen not to put the Blu-ray player and 4K Blu-ray player in the box is I think they think physical media is going to fade away and that market's going to be relatively small, and people who are into 4K are going to consume it via Netflix and Amazon Prime essentially, and that's why that's more important than having it.
Oh, it drives me mad. I don't like the digital age. Because we're not going to own anything anymore.
We're not. Blu-rays will be... 4K Blu-rays will exist, but they'll be niche. It'll be people who want the absolute best experience.
Yeah.
Like, kind of... It'll become like vinyl to a degree.
It's just a weird thing.
Imagine that, like, being like a hipster collecting DVDs.
Well, Laserdisc.
It's pretty mad.
Well, no, people collect videos. And video cassettes, VHS.
I guess, yeah.
Do you prefer, like... physical media?
Yeah, absolutely.
Really?
Yeah,
I can't remember the last time I put a Blu-ray. I've got loads of Blu-rays on my shelves, but I always just end up watching stuff on Netflix.
Mine was It a couple of weeks ago.
Did you? Nice.
Put on
That's actually coming out on Blu-ray in a few weeks.
Yeah, but four and a half hours, I fell asleep. It's weird, though, because we don't own this stuff anymore, and so should Amazon and Netflix decide to bugger off, all that stuff you've got, you don't have anymore. And it's, I don't know, it freaks me out a little.
It's like when you realize that all the music you've bought from iTunes, you're just lending from them.
Yeah.
It's like, what? It's like, all your music's gone.
Somebody raised the question whether you're able to bequeath your digital collection of items to your children. You can't.
No, of course
so,
you can't.
That's crazy.
That's
like,
good,
that's
isn't
actually
it?
Insane.
Yeah, it's grim.
It's cool. That's why I torrent everything.
But at the same time, do you not feel like oppressed by all the shit that you own sometimes?
Yeah, well, no.
I just look around my house and go, look at all this stuff.
At Christmas, I got rid of everything. I
stream.
That's a bit of my
I like hundreds of DVDs.
It's lightning.
Hundreds of DVDs.
You got rid
DVDs.
Of them.
It's good for
yeah,
the soul.
I gave them to a charity shop.
Oh.
I could have sold them.
I'm kind of like a charity shop. You should have given it to me.
Would you have wanted hundreds of DVDs?
Maybe. Depends what they are.
I mean, they weren't the best ones.
It was like Soldier Boxer.
They weren't the best ones, if I'm honest. I've kept the stuff, I think.
Kept the best wrestler, Oxfam.
But yeah, it felt really good and really freeing.
It's good for the soul.
Yeah, it really is. Because I don't have much room in my flat, my new flat, so I couldn't keep stuff.
Yeah.
The only thing I left at my mum and dad's was my collection of Empire magazines. There's hundreds of them, and it pisses my mum and dad off, but... They're staying
so much stuff on my mind.
Why are you
house?
Keeping hundreds of Empire magazines?
I don't know. Whenever I'm home, my mum and dad's, I like flicking through them. I'm such a geek. I like reading the movie news to see what happened and what didn't. I can sit there going, well, that's wrong. That never happened.
Bullshit.
Biggest film of the summer. Probably not Waterworld.
What was one of them that blew my mind? It was the Coen brothers directing a RoboCop sequel, something like that.
What?
Yeah, that didn't happen.
Oh, what year was that?
I might have that wrong, by the way.
That's fine.
Definitely not right.
It's fine.
No,
it's true.
It might have been Judge Dredd. It might have been the Coens doing Judge Dredd.
To be fair, I do that with old gaming magazines.
Yeah.
I find that really fun, like going back and they're like, all the rumors on Project Dolphin. And I'm like, it's the GameCube guys.
And it's all bollocks.
Yeah.
Just making it up.
It makes you feel superior.
It does in a way, doesn't it? I'm like, these graphics are terrible.
In hindsight, I have accessed information that was literally unforeseeable.
So that, like, time traveling.
Yeah, so that is, well, that, yeah. Okay, that's PlayStation Pro. It's out on November 10th for £349. What do you think of this? Please email us, IGN_UKfeedback@IGN.com. We really want to know what you think.
Are, and if you don't care, just email us a little shrug emoji.
Yeah, or the one with the girl that who's pushing up her hair that no one really knows what that means. Have you seen that one?
No.
It's because you can't read women.
Hey! Well done.
Who can?
Who can? Right, guys, lads.
Hovering over the emoji. Why is no description coming up of it?
Welcome to the sexist podcast.
To be fair, you must have to type something in codes to get that to appear. You know, if you type in like smiley face and then you type, I'll do my research.
Let's find out what that is.
If anyone knows,
please tell me.
Can we move on from that?
Yes. There was also another conference on that day where some businessmen came out and showed us new mobile phones, and people lost their minds.
Did they?
They did.
But before we get onto the actual iPhone bit, at the top of it, have you seen the beginning? How they open the Apple conference? It's awful. So James Corden is really famous now.
Yeah,
he's
I don't know why.
He's too famous now.
He's very famous.
Fair play to him.
No, he's very ambitious young man, and he's
Carpool Karaoke is massive in America. It was massive on YouTube. Yeah, and they're debuting new episodes on iTunes. So they opened the whole thing with Tim Cook, who is the CEO of Apple, doing Carpool Karaoke with Pharrell in the back seat.
Because
Tim Cook is from Alabama, they sang Sweet Home Alabama.
I'm dying.
That is a man who should not be singing that close to a GoPro. He is belting Sweet Home Alabama.
Steve Jobs wouldn't have done that.
It's terrible.
I'll show you it once we get out, and it's even worse.
Corporate people trying to be down with
Tim. He looks so uncomfortable. But you can tell it's multiple takes, and they go, Tim, we don't want to make you do it anymore, but for this one, just go for it. And you know what? He sings his heart out.
That's the equivalent of walking on stage, putting on a backwards hat, turning a chair backwards and sitting on it, being like, I want to rap with you kids for a second.
Yeah.
Like, David Brent.
Exactly. Yeah.
Ripping scratch.
Oh, it's just so bad.
So he went through, like, as all the Apple conferences begin, he goes through and they just kind of go, aren't we good? And do all the numbers. And he also said that I think something like 15 billion apps have been downloaded to date from the App Store. And the most popular category
frame
is
reference.
Brilliant.
That could be, I don't know what that
what
means.
What have you done?
You could have told me that was in a day and I would have believed you. Yeah. I don't know. Who knows?
This is why you're not invited.
Yeah.
Can you get this heckler out?
Frame of reference, mate.
Frame of reference.
What's your source for this? Are we supposed to believe anything you tell us, mate?
What are Android doing?
Anyway, the most popular category within that is gaming, which I guess logically makes the iPad the most popular gaming device in the world.
I thought about it.
And a very famous man came out because he said, the App Store has been missing one icon of gaming until now.
And can I guess?
Ooh, yes.
Kevin Keegan?
You couldn't even keep a straight voice.
Look at myself.
He's so good.
I even know the answer.
It's written down in front of me. Look at his little face.
I said Kevin Keegan on the podcast.
Do you even know who Kevin Keegan is?
No, I just like
you
the
don't
way
know
so.
Kevin Keegan
I probably do. Which one's he?
I probably do.
Which
one is he?
He's an unfortunate footballer.
No, then I don't actually.
Anyway, sorry, back to who was it, Dan?
It was Miyamoto-san, the father of Mario. So they announced that Nintendo is bringing Mario to the App Store, which is really cool.
Yeah.
A couple of years ago, Nintendo said they were going to go into mobile gaming, and we've had a couple of those so far. We've had Miitomo, Pokemon Go, which is obviously a huge, phenomenal success. And now Mario's going to come to the iPhone December 2016, and then I guess Android next year. And it looked really cool.
So they show some of the game?
Yeah, so it is...
It's like a running forward...
Yeah,
procedural generated. Yeah.
So is it procedural?
Yeah.
Is it?
So I believe so. Yeah, I think I read that.
So it's an endless runner, but that's a format that's kind of been rinsed on the App Store. By loads of brands will have a tie-in endless runner anytime a movie's come out. Reskin it. It's good to go. This looks a bit more to it. Like, obviously, they're not just going to do that. They've added some kind of Nintendo innovation in it. Like, there's blocks that stop Mario.
Yeah.
And there's a bit more platforming. But they've gone, like, we're not going to give you a virtual joystick and buttons because all the games that do that are crap. Mm. So they've kind of gone, how can we use this touchscreen to bring a proper Mario experience to life? And it does have levels and worlds. They showed like the world map. So it's not endless. There's going to be a kind of structure to the game.
Well, the mention as well, like, because I think like months ago when we were speculating about this on the podcast, was whether they were going to bring existing retro games to these like the handheld devices, or if it was going to be kind of like Nintendo skins on the existing mechanics of you know, games that would exist on the App Store. And it seems like they've kind of gone for that middle ground, because it does look and feel like Mario, but essentially, because it can be played with one hand, so it's essentially, I assume, like a tap, double tap to jump, you know, swiping motions and things like that. So I feel like it is that middle ground, whereas, as you said, they haven't gone for just buttons in the controller, because that never works out. It's absolutely terrible.
Well, Nintendo, you know, they've had devices themselves that have touchscreens. They've developed games for touchscreens for a long while.
They know.
The Wii, the DS, for a long time have had a touchscreen. And I think they know that you make a game, like these are your inputs. You don't have a control stick. You don't have necessarily traditional buttons. Make a game with those parameters in place. And they're some of the greatest games makers in the world.
Sure.
And I'm sure it'll be really good.
And you can play it with one hand.
You play it
with
one hand, so...
So you can hold on to, they were saying...
Your little picture of Kevin Keegan.
Is Miyamoto as nice as he looks?
He looks very happy.
He looks like a nice man, doesn't he?
You just want to hug him, don't you?
Mm.
Yeah, I'd love to meet Miyamoto.
Have you not?
I've not met Miyamoto.
How can we make that happen?
It's just Nintendo, have a word with them.
Mm.
People want to email Nintendo, that is UKP... I don't know, actually.
I want to meet Steven Spielberg. Is he like the video game Steven Spielberg?
I think so, yeah. Mm. Like, well, it's someone who's so deeply enmeshed with your childhood.
Mm. Yeah.
But not in a weird way.
I think I'd make it weird. I really want to meet Koji Kondo, also works for Nintendo, and Shigeru Miyamoto, and he wrote a lot of the music in the Zelda series, like all the original themes. Oh my God. Like, I would just
Should we do a podcast on the people we most want to interview?
Oh, yeah.
And that'd be a great idea.
And if then, it catches and then fire, they'll
scrap
get
this, guys.
Oh, say, and then somebody else pretends to be that person.
That couldn't get racist at all, yeah.
You can come in with a beard.
It's black.
No, and then our lovely listeners might be able to get in touch with those people, and then next week Spielberg will be in.
Spielberg coming. Well, why are you slagging me off in that
your
tweet?
Your condo mate will be here as well.
Condo mate, yeah.
It's Condor. They got bird writing music for Nintendo. Is that how they do it?
What was it called? Bird song. You know,
what was he called?
Koji Kondo.
Okay. Do all the classic Mario.
Do,
I know the music well.
All that stuff.
Everyone does. So I think that's a really cool thing.
Yeah, it's a nice thing.
And this is like Nintendo's big strategy. They said a few years ago, because dwindling fortunes of the Wii U, that there was a generation of kids that hadn't grown up loving Mario and Zelda and Pokemon.
Yep.
Like they'd kind of been lost. Those kids were buying Xboxes and PS4s. And
they were more into Solid Snake than Mario.
Yeah, and they...
Right. You're just using words.
Yeah,
you're just throwing words out there.
That's like you saying Kevin Keegan.
It is, yeah.
I'm trying to keep up with the kids.
I know, I appreciate it. I appreciate it.
I don't know, but they're faster. but, like, it's true, though. When they said a few years ago, the reason, like, what we're going to do is we're going to open theme parks, we're going to license Nintendo, make toys, we're going to make animated shows. They haven't really happened yet, but they're in the production. Mm. And we're going to make mobile games. And it's absolutely worked. The other week I went home and my nephew started playing Pokemon Go.
Mm.
And suddenly he was obsessed with Pokemon. And now he wants the console that the Pokemon games come on.
Mm.
So that will be eventually a 3DS.
Absolutely.
And it will be a Wii, whatever the next Wii is.
I think the goal for Nintendo is to essentially build that company up till it has a presence like Disney. Like you have a world where you can go adventure and you have all these IPs and products and, you know, you see these characters like Woody and Buzz from Toy Story and you're just so familiar with everything about them.
And you can see in recent times they've been less introverted. Like doing the thing at the end of the Olympics with the president.
Yeah,
that's
awesome.
That was a great
thing.
You've got this national, you know, international icon. Use it more.
Oh my God, I'm so excited
Wreck-It
for
Ralph.
The Japanese.
He's going to be in Wreck-It Ralph,
yeah,
I'm sure.
In a bigger part.
Yeah.
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 So I think
so
that's good stuff. I think you'd be very easily negative about it, but I think it's a really positive move.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, something that is slightly more controversial. We're not going to go into a lot of the details about the iPhone. You can find them online.
Gloves are off now.
Lots of places. So the big talking point with the iPhone is, I guess, it no longer has a traditional headphone jack.
Shut it down.
So your current headphones, what is it? You'll know. 3.5 mil?
What?
Oh, he doesn't know. So whatever that traditional headphone jack is, I'm not a technical guy.
Oh, it's 3.5 jack.
3.3,
yeah.
Whatever.
3.5.
That can no longer plug into your iPhone.
Shut the front door.
Yeah.
Yeah?
I'm not Obama, Dan. I don't like change.
Okay, so let me walk you through this. So it doesn't have a traditional headphone jack. So what you get in the box, you get a pair of Apple headphones, and they connect via a wire, but instead of going into the headphone jack, they go into the little charging port at the end.
Right.
You also get an adapter that plugs into the lightning jack, mm-hmm. and you can plug your regular headphones in it. So it's a really short cable.
Okay.
So it basically convert. You'd probably keep it on the end of your headphones.
Yeah.
And then just plug it in.
So it's more things to lose or break and have to buy from Apple. Yeah.
But I guess their theory is we're heading towards eventually a wireless future where most people will get Bluetooth headphones.
And Apple is the supreme overlord of that. Future, the wireless future.
You can opt out, dude.
Can I?
You can do what you want. You have free will.
They've made it hard to opt out.
Vote your money. Right, so what do we think about this?
I'm in a split, honestly. I think it's good that they're pushing technology forward. I think they have tried to compromise. I think it's a bad compromise. I think the adapter is going to be a hassle. I think they should have just kept a jack. I don't think it would have been that much of a problem to just... include the jack along with the Thunderbolt port. But I know why they're doing it. It's to really force people into it.
Yeah, because there's a slight precedent with this. Like, Apple over the years, probably more so in recent times than anyone else, has, like, ditched interfaces. So a few years ago, they caused controversy when they ditched an optical drive on their laptops. They got rid of them on the MacBook Airs and eventually the MacBooks. And now pretty much no new laptop has a traditional optical drive.
No, but prior
to that, they also ditched, like, VGA... like various old connections, they've gone to pasture. So it kind of has happened before with other things. This probably seems more kind of shocking because the headphone jack input's been around longer than the ones that they've ditched in the past.
And also, I guess like most of those changes, aside from getting rid of like the disk drive, like those changes for like the VGA cables and things like that, that's to facilitate the improvement of quality, whereas this isn't going to facilitate the improvement of quality. This is just technology. And I'm not sure there's enough of a drive of people who want Bluetooth headphones that would require just one port. Like for me, for example, I can imagine being halfway through a commute and one of my earbuds dies. You have to charge them. They have their own battery. What if one of them goes? What if you lose one? And then I guarantee you, everyone's who gets the phone is going to start using those wireless headphones, lose one, and then just use the jack consistently for the next 12 months.
I don't know if people will use those wireless ones because they're not free and they're out in October.
They're not. I thought they came bundled with the phone.
Not the wireless ones.
What?
They're like
one. Oh, now I'm furious.
Of course not. Why are you furious?
Because okay, yeah.
Sorry, audience.
We have a limiter. It's fine. I can be as loud as I want. It'll still cut off.
I can be as loud as I want. The entitlement on this kid.
I thought they came with the phone.
No.
Oh, I'm livid now.
Why are you livid?
Yeah. Because now they have a piece of technology that's built for the phone that they don't include with the phone.
Not necessarily, because it comes with headphones that you can use in the
box.
And
the adapter. Do I have to carry the adapter with me everywhere?
Only if you want to use other headphones. You don't have to do it.
But I won't have their Bluetooth headphones.
What? But it comes with a pair of headphones that you can use out of the box with the phone.
Yeah, but with an adapter to plug into the phone.
No, not with an adapter. It just goes at the bottom.
It has a okay.
I literally ran through what was in the box.
You did, yeah.
So you get a pair of headphones that has a lightning connector at the end.
Okay.
And you also get the adapters so you can use your own headphones.
The adapter will definitely be getting lost.
It would definitely get lost.
Oh, unless
over and over again. And it'll probably be £15 to buy a new one. Something stupid.
Yes.
And now also, you can't, if you don't have your Bluetooth headphones, or a pair of Bluetooth headphones, you can't listen to music or a podcast and charge your phone at the same time because it's only got one port.
Do you ever do that? Listen to music off your phone while charging it? I don't think I ever do that.
I do.
There's no reason I wouldn't do that.
No, but do you do it?
Yeah, I think when I'm on a holiday, I certainly do.
Okay.
I've done it before. What about when you're walking around with a portable charger, charging your phone?
You
listen to music? You can't do
that
now.
A lot now.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Are we all iPhone people?
Yeah. Yes.
Would you consider leaving?
No.
Ooh, no.
That's a good question. It's a good question.
Because people do it. It blows my mind when people do it. And then I think, wonder what that would be
maybe
like.
Maybe I could do it.
What would that feel like?
It's like unplugging from the Matrix. You're like, I've heard it's kind of grisly out there. There are robots and eating gruel and stuff. It is real.
I've got my hair.
It's a stitch up. Matrix was great. I don't care if it's fake.
I prefer the lie.
Yeah. I haven't done enough market research. I don't even really know what goes into like a Samsung Galaxy and things. Mm. I think because we all use MacBook Pros and things for work, it's really easy. Like yeah. It's all quite connected.
Sure.
But equally, if you have a PC, like I don't see why you wouldn't be on a Android.
So lots of people already have, like I'm on the tube, you already see people, a lot of people have Bluetooth headsets anyway.
Yeah.
I'd see quite a lot of people that are cableless. I guess part of this is we just live in a consumer society, and it's also, while it's also driving technology forward, it's also buy more stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, they have no interest in you having the same pair of headphones for the next 20 years.
No, not at all.
That's awful. If you want to do that, great, but you're not that valuable to us.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Like, that's the reason as well that it is a Thunderbolt port at the bottom, because it's like an Apple exclusive. Like, you have to now purchase adapters and equipment that will facilitate the use of the
Lightning.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Which is crazy.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's going to make them a freaking ton of money, which is going to look good.
So the thing that I thought was most outrageous cash. About this of all, like, I'm kind of indifferent to it. Like,
I don't want
to
be too sucks. Down
that's, like, perfectly entitled to. Like, it kind of sucks for some people. I can't get that incensed by it. And I think it's one of those things, transitional periods, where in 5 years' time, I think maybe it will be a failure, but benefit of hindsight. But I think in a few years' time, wireless technology will be, the batteries will be better because they'll have to be to appeal to people. So it'll improve battery technology. Price will go down of wireless technology. And in a few years' time, a pair of decent Bluetooth headphones with 20 hours battery life will be relatively cheap because more people are buying them.
Yeah.
But the thing that I thought was really wanky in the presentation, Phil Schiller, who's like one of the architects of the iPhone, when he described them going jackless, for want of a better expression, he said, to do this requires courage.
Oh,
he used the word courage.
Mm-hmm.
Is it courage when you're like, you have that much of a monopoly to do something that people won't really opt out of?
You can literally force the market into almost any direction.
Big brass balls to screw people out of more money.
And it's courage. And by the same logic, to include an adapter, is that cowardice?
Yeah. It takes courage. And I believe as a company, we are the most humble company around.
Yeah.
It's like,
Yeah, what Google saying?
Who wrote?
Are they humble?
Big time.
We're the most humble company around.
Yeah. I think so.
15 billion app downloads in a second.
15 billion downloads of IGN podcasts in the last 348 weeks.
Yeah, can do.
Sell them anything.
I'll put it on a graph next time. So what do you think about the iPhone no longer having a little headphone jack? Let us know at IGN_UK feedback@IGN.com.
Yeah, don't ask me. I just spent 10 minutes telling you.
Yeah. Don't ask Chris.
Right.
He doesn't need that.
Oh, we're one section away from Tilly on TV.
Yeah. I didn't know it was going to have its own name, that section.
Tilly on TV.
I feel about that. I also don't know why I talked about myself in the third person when I wrote my little bit. Anyway, we can come to that.
Okay. Tilly is on. Oh, we're going to get to it.
Yeah,
get to it. There's a keep people excited.
It's a little teaser. So
continuing on from like the Apple presentation and, you know, Nintendo platforms moving into the gaming world, we had some updates recently on Pokemon Go, which was revealed at the presentation, which is the Pokemon Go is going to be coming to Apple Watch as well.
No way.
Exactly, because you've been playing it nonstop.
Home.
Pokemon is going somewhere. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. Pokemon going places. No, keep going.
Yeah, okay. Well, I hope Tilly on TV is this riveting. This is brilliant. It's kind of similar to another device that they're releasing, which is the Pokemon Go Plus, which is essentially, it kind of looks like, do you know a lot about this?
No, I've never heard of the Plus.
It's cool. It's kind of like shaped like a Pokeball, but it's a pin, and you pin it somewhere on your clothing, and
it's like a wristband as well.
It can be a wristband, yeah. It can kind of like go anywhere.
Yeah.
And it pairs with your device over Bluetooth, and it means if you have the app running on the background, whenever you're walking and you go near a Pokestop or a Pokemon, it'll like light up or vibrate and make noise or whatever it does.
So you don't, right?
Basically, so you don't have to constantly have your phone out.
Yeah. And it's similar to the watch because both is there to make it so that exactly like you don't have to keep running this app, which is draining your battery, or keep having your phone out. And which I didn't realize, it says you can actually capture Pokemon and go to Pokestops without, like, just by pushing buttons on the actual device.
Mm.
So it's like you don't even have to open your phone.
I thought it was over.
Well, they have, like, their install base has dropped dramatically in recent times.
Insanely, but like millions.
From an absolute phenomenal figure to a smaller figure, it's still a lot of people.
Yeah.
So it's all relative.
Yeah. I deleted it the other day.
Yeah, I did too.
Did you actually?
I never really played it that much.
I only ever captured one, and he was on my desk in the office, and that was it.
The starter, probably. Yeah. I always find it weird when people are like, I see a lot of people bragging about it, like tweeting photos of the screen cap of them deleting the app.
Oh, jog
and it's
on.
Like, you're the person that's going to come back to it when they do the like the next big update. It's like, yeah. It's crazy because they're going to add more. They're going to have more Pokemon and stuff. And it's like, I don't know. I don't think it's a good idea. But I'm really looking forward to this. I'm really excited.
So the watch was like the Plus, but a bit more to it, wasn't there?
Yeah.
So you could see the actual Pokestop on the screen.
Yeah.
And like you could get that info. You could also... So I watched some of the conference and I scrubbed through it. It seems like they're really rebranding the Apple Watch as a fitness device as well. So definitely. It is a smartwatch, but it's also a huge fitness device. They've made it waterproof, so you can be a swimmer and use it now. And they're really like tying... what?
Whereas if you were a swimmer, you could not use the watch.
Well, you could. It'd be fucked.
I'm imagining, knock yourself out, mate. Capturing Pokemon while I'm swimming.
Yeah,
that's brilliant. Yeah. Get a Gyarados down there. Throw Pokeballs.
Oh yeah, comes crawling back, doesn't he? Well, what's down at 40 meters? Oh shit, I can't get back up.
That'd be brilliant.
The watch like tracks all of your kind of like vital stats. It feeds all that information to Pokemon Go as well, mm-hmm. so it more accurately hatches eggs.
Oh, that's really cool.
So it's really good for that.
That's awesome. Like, the watch is something that I always really wanted, but it's just too expensive for me.
It's gone down a bit.
How much is... Well, I assume that this is going to take down as well.
$250 now.
Way too much for me. Yeah. I'm £30. If you've got one going for £30, I'll take it.
Well, no.
No?
Here's
keep me posted.
Don't gently mock Pokemon Go players because they don't like it and they will tell you so on Twitter.
I'm a Pokemon Go player. Wait, you're speaking from experience.
Yeah. I just write... You know what? I'm a bit flippant on Twitter, and I said something like...
Biting.
I said something like, oh, I've just deleted...
Pokemon shit.
Pokemon Go from my phone because I realised I'm 38 years old. And then I got loads of grief for being condescending and patronising to Pokemon players. I don't care. It's also a joke. Like,
yeah. People like being outraged.
They do.
Yeah. I can't be arsed.
No. It makes me then want to actually have a go at
it. Or wind them up.
Yeah, poke the bear.
Just turn it.
I wouldn't recommend that on Twitter. No. Don't poke bears. Or in real life, either. Bad idea. But no, that totally sums up my little topic of conversation. And I am thrilled to introduce our next topic, which is... Tilly on TV. Feature we've all been waiting for.
The description on this. It's like, did you ever have that thing at school where after a weekend you wrote down what you did at the weekend in a book and it was like a few sentences and you could draw a picture on top?
Yeah. I just didn't know what to write because got to make it clear who's going to be owning that section of the podcast.
Yeah,
I might have an indication of who is hosting Tilly on TV.
I didn't know
by the
that.
Title itself.
Cool. Listen.
Yeah.
It says Tilly has only been watching TV for the last 2 weeks. Well, a lot to catch up on. Then.
I've been watching a lot of TV. There was a couple of months where I wasn't watching much TV because there was nothing I was terribly excited about.
But apparently this month,
you've been watching a lot of stuff launched that I'm into. A lot of stuff.
Okay.
So, a couple of recommendations. One, I think, I don't even know if this was talked about in recent podcasts.
I've not been on for a while.
I don't believe so.
Okay, so everyone's talking about The Night Of.
Okay.
Oh, just finished in America. I think it's maybe eight episodes long,
it's
so it's been going
many,
for 2 months.
Yeah.
And it just finished. And Sky last week launched all of them at the same time.
Really?
So you can download every episode, which I have. And I'm 3 or 4 episodes in, and it's just terrific. I guess it's kind of inspired by the success of the Serial podcast and Making a Murderer. And it's a drama about a single case of murder and whether or not the main character has done it or not.
Mm.
And it's really interesting. It examines it from all aspects. But the thing that blew my mind is it's this big American phenomenon. It's turned out it's based on a British TV show from 8 years ago.
Really?
Yeah, called Criminal Justice, I think. And so it's got these amazing screenwriters, and you realise, oh, they've just been rewriting these British scripts.
Unbelievable.
And you watch the trailer, and it's very similar. And weirdly, it's Ben Whishaw who plays the main character. He's Q in the Bond movies.
Yeah.
So there's lots of quite famous. Ruth Negger's in it, who's in Preacher. But yeah, it's just really gripping, but it's also quite depressing. And I'm finding myself having to watch sitcoms afterwards because it's getting me down.
I watched the double bill at the weekend
and
that was a mistake.
Yeah.
Halfway through the second episode I was like, okay, we need to put on something lighter after this. Biscuit Week on Bake Off perhaps.
And it's Riz Ahmed is the lead guy who seems to be blowing up this year. I mean, we've known in the UK for a while because we're fans of Four Lions and Nightcrawler last year.
He was blowing up in that.
He was blowing up in that. And he's in Rogue One, so he's about to blow up big time.
Yeah.
It's going to be an explosion. But yeah, so that I thoroughly recommend. But the one I also want to talk about is something that got some quite bad reviews when it launched a couple of months ago, called The Get Down. And it put me off watching it. I just vaguely seem to see people saying they were disappointed because it's Baz Luhrmann's.
Yeah, I saw that as well.
It's Baz Luhrmann's new thing, and so that's kind of the hook.
What's this one about? I haven't heard of this one.
Oh, this is the problem. This is as good a Netflix show as I've seen in ages.
Yeah.
It is set in the 1970s, and it's about the birth of hip-hop.
Sorry, I have seen this. Yeah, they made a big push. Like, they were doing it like a week at a mall. Yeah.
And it's bookended in the present day with this, in 1996, I think, with this guy rapping on stage about his life. And then you go back and you see his life, these group of kids who, at the birth of hip-hop, they start, you know, scratching records and breakdancing and this and graffiti and all this stuff that was going on in New York at the time. Mm-hmm. But the thing that's really cool about it, having watched a few episodes, it's kind of like a superhero show. So I've only four in, and it's all the origin of these guys.
Nice.
And it feels like...
Are they based
like
on real people?
No, they aren't, but there are real people in it. Yeah, Grandmaster Flash is in it.
Are they meant to represent specific people or
I don't
not?
Think so. It's like there's three crews in New York at the time.
Okay.
And they're all real.
Right.
And then this is like an... I think this is like an imaginary fourth crew.
Okay.
But there's a lot of Kung Fu influence as well. And even they've got even names that sound like superheroes. But at the moment, it's like the early origins of these.
Nice.
They're going to become superstars rather than superheroes.
How many episodes is that
I think
one?
It's 10.
Okay.
But the music's great. The actors are great. The only one I'm not enjoying in it is the most famous one, and that's Jaden Smith.
Okay.
I'm not convinced by his performance.
I'm never convinced by his performance. To date, I haven't been.
He's got quite an interesting character. I'm not getting what he's doing with it. But yeah, it's just really good fun. And to be honest, I'm watching The Night Of and then watching that because it's kind of cheers me up a little bit.
That's actually a really good idea.
Yeah. And one other thing, I've not seen this yet, but I have high hopes for this one. It just screened, I think, in Venice, the first two episodes. It's called The Young Pope. Heard it here first. It's co-production Sky and someone in the States. And it's by Paolo Sorrentino, I think his name is, who's a very great Italian director. And it's about...
like the Pope in college and he's like a party animal and he's going to sororities
and
stuff.
It's not far off that because it's not funny, but it's about a new Pope coming into power, a young Pope. And he's played by Jude Law. But he smokes. It looks like he's kind of bad with women. And I tell you what it was reminding me of, a kind of like a Godfather kind of thing it looked like, where he's this corrupt Pope in the middle of Rome. And everyone's pissed off.
Can't wait to see. Can we get the reveal of the new Pope-mobile?
And everyone's saying it's the best thing Jude Law's done because obviously he can be blow hot or cold. But
he's not done something for a while, is he?
But this looks. It looks just really interesting.
So that's not out yet.
No, it's coming out in a couple of months. But these reviews coming out of Venice, people were saying this is absolutely brilliant telly.
Oh, that sounds
so
really good.
What channel was that? Did you have a channel for
that? I would imagine it's Sky Atlantic. I think it's Sky co-production. Yeah, it might be HBO. I can't say. But that's the end of Tilly on TV.
I really enjoyed that.
I thought it was excellent. Can this be a regular feature?
Yeah.
I think only if I've been watching TV
right,
the last
2 weeks. Because if he's not,
Tilly on football.
It's going to be
thin. Variety. Tilly on football.
He would love to do Tilly on football. That would be coming on every week.
Tilly on football. Crystal Palace has just signed Matthew Flamini as a free agent.
Have you?
Yeah. Not sure if that's good or bad.
I don't know.
Let's not talk about that. And I didn't mention, obviously...
That's a breakout.
And just before we leave the subject, the thing that everyone is obviously watching at the moment is Narcos Season 2.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I'm not. But
I've not finished season 1.
I know
one.
People are. Yeah.
I got commissioned for 3 and 4.
Yeah.
Like, someone... It's just...
Spoiled. Yeah, let's not. This conversation we had in the tube, let's not say that. But it seems weird.
Yeah.
It seems like it's
almost
a spoiler.
I don't think we had that conversation, but yeah.
I was saying on the tube,
I think I know
weird
to, I think I know what you're talking about. Yeah. But yes.
I wrote down one more thing here. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. I think this was last week, this news, but I just thought it was interesting. It looks like the Uncharted movie has been cancelled yet again.
I know.
Good.
Is that good?
What?
I think it's good.
No.
Why doesn't it happen? Don't rush it. If you can't get the best people together or the right people to do it, kill it for now.
So I've got a theory.
Yeah, you've won me over.
I'm sure.
I've changed. Yeah, I've flip-flopped.
Exactly.
Yeah, cancel it.
Yeah, because what's it going to add if it's a bad version? Just another crap video game movie.
I've got a theory on why this has happened. Joe Carnahan is writing the script. So Joe Carnahan did The Grey, he did The A-Team, he did Narc. Two of those are good. He's a really good kind of testosterone Fuel director.
Yeah.
And he's been writing the script. And I imagine the idea was for him to direct, because why would you get him to write the script if you're not going to have him direct? But he since got the gig for the new Bad Boys movie. Bad Boys for Life, it's called. And so I'm thinking that maybe they're doing that so that they can wait for him if they really want him to direct it. Because he's even tweeting at the moment, like when he's finishing scenes on the script.
Yeah.
He tweeted, I've just done the opening scene in Uncharted. At least in script form, it's really, really good. So he's kind of keeping people posted.
All right, mate.
He sold himself a bit short there. Could be terrible on
confidence
camera,
on him.
He's that kind of guy, though. He's a very boisterous, self-confident
that's
dude.
That's Bad Boys for Life. Amazing.
That's what I was just going to say. Yeah, like Bad Boys. Is there still a huge demand for
I
that?
I assume that's Bad Boys 4.
Bad Boys. Yeah, for Life.
Bad Boys, no, because it's Bad Boys 3, isn't
is
it?
Is it? I thought. I just imagined there's been Bad Boys
3. Yeah, it's Bad Boys 4 Life 3, obviously. Yeah.
Yeah.
Life spelled.
Joe, you
should
remember this title. Yeah, it's genius.
Well, Bad Boys 2
you don't get it.
Was a massive, massive hit.
Yeah.
So, people just love cheesy, like, action comedy. Like, these ridiculous things. It's like Fast and Furious.
Why didn't they go and see
like
the nice guys then?
That's true.
So, yeah, do you think this will happen or. And do we need an Uncharted movie?
I wonder who's pushing that forward, because I imagine no one at Naughty Dog who's senior in that creative team, considering how much love and attention and how protective they are of that brand.
Would you like to know how involved Naughty Dog have been?
Not at all. Yeah.
This is Neil Druckmann says, every once in a while they'll come in and they'll present to us. Here's the script. Here's what we're thinking. We'll tell them what we think works, what we think doesn't work. And he said, if you don't get that right, I don't think the film's going to work. If you get the call right, there's a chance it could work.
He's not being very optimistic.
No, it's because Sony will probably own it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're being consulted. But you could get an arrogant filmmaker who thinks he knows better than these games people and just goes, yeah, I'll do it.
We talked to Seth Rogen, didn't we, years ago? He was going to do it.
Yeah. Like
was that on the record?
Yeah. We were setting up, funnily enough, we were getting him to play the beginning of The Last of Us when it just came out on PS3. And between setting up the camera and rolling, he talked about being approached to do the Uncharted 4 movie with Evan Goldberg, and he said they'd love to do it, but they sat down to write it and they just can't think of any way to not make it Indiana Jones.
That's film
because obviously it's a circle of influence. Uncharted is influenced massively by Indiana Jones, and then you take that back to film and it's like, what is that? What's the language of
but
that
also,
film?
But also, I feel like there's like a want for that type of film right now,
he's
like,
coming back though. Indiana Jones is coming back,
It can be done, and it was done. Romancing the Stone, have you ever seen that?
I haven't. No,
that's
it
really
came
good.
Out.
Is
three,
that similar kind of?
Yeah, it came out 3 years after Raiders of the Lost Ark, and it's Michael Douglas playing a similar character. It's a terrific action film. It's really, really good, and it's like you can have two or three. Yeah. Adventurers. I mean, Indiana Jones himself was based on a bunch of 1950s serials, various characters in them.
What's tricky about that one, I know we talk about video game adaptations a lot, is because that one, so many of the elements you'd want to translate are very fixed and well-defined in the source material.
Yeah.
Whereas a lot of the other games we talk about being adapted, you're adapting a setting or a theme or like Deus Ex, human augmentation. Mm. With anyone who's a fan of Uncharted, Nolan North is the Nathan Drake. They've spent a lot of time with those characters, so that's kind of trickier. Not impossible, because obviously you could reach a huge audience that's never played them. But I think that's just makes it slightly more complicated.
Just it was due to come out summer 2017, and just after a summer of, I've spoken about this before on here, I felt that this summer's been a bit depressing in terms of not only some of the blockbusters have been bad, but they've just been very downbeat.
Yep.
It's not been a very fun summer, you know.
Joyous.
Ghostbusters was about the only happy film I can think of off the top of my head. I think summer is supposed to be...
Oh, Star Trek.
Star Trek, yeah. I didn't
excellent.
See that one, did I? Yeah, summer's supposed to be about having fun in the cinema.
I think that's why one of the reasons... I think Star Trek Beyond is really good, but I think that's one of the reasons I liked it even more.
Mm.
It's just fun and positive and, like...
You put a smile on your
feeling good and going, I saw a summer film today and that was really good.
Yeah, definitely.
Reminded me of, going to cinema as a kid. Yeah, you're right. A lot of them just super downbeat this year.
It's like me and Joe and Gav all went to see the Lonely Island movie, Pop Star Never Stop Popping. Never Stopping.
Did maybe my invite did it get lost in the post? Or
That was it.
Maybe it's in my junk folder.
Yeah, it was
the film that I really wanted to see.
I think Gav sent. Did Gav?
But the film that I really wanted to see, and you guys wanted
to see
it together.
Did you really want to see it?
I'm going
to
get involved in this. I was at home.
You've seen it twice, haven't
what's
you?
What's even worse, I've seen it twice. Yeah. Dale saw it twice. I think Joe wants to see it twice. It's freaking fantastic.
It's not a
fantastic
film I want to go and watch on my own either.
You should. Go see it, not go see it by yourself.
I didn't let you finish your point there, but he was happy with it.
It was great. And again, like in comparison to like all the other like summer movies I'd seen, it just was really strange because afterwards, like I came out and like my stomach was hurting from like laughing so much. Nice. It's like, that's haven't had like a movie experience like that. You know when you're younger and you just remember like laughing out loud in the cinema, and I just felt like I didn't have it this year.
Shouldn't have list was that for me. Too soon.
Powerful. On that kind of insightful revelation.
No, can we not end on that?
Well, you've made it end on that.
We have feedback, don't we?
Not really.
Oh, no.
No, so okay. We are going to end on that revelation about Christopher's personality. And
it's a good way to end it.
So
picked a different film.
Please,
Patch Adams.
Please send us feedback, IGN_UK feedback. It's the third time I asked for it because we'd really like some because we really like hearing from you. Like even if we don't read the emails out, we
not
read
you,
them all as a team.
But you.
Absolutely don't send
not
that
you,
again.
Kyle.
That was outrageous.
Yeah. Don't what make it specific.
No, what Kyle said was on call for. It's terrible. I am making this out. I don't know who Kyle is.
All right.
Yeah. Sorry to any Kyles out there.
There's one Kyle who's like, what?
Good.
I was asking about Pokemon.
Yeah, I didn't say that.
And don't send those attachments. Not again. No, please,
not
God,
safe
no.
For work.
But yeah, we really love hearing from you. If there's anything you want to like hear on the podcast, all features you want us to bring back, we'd really like to hear that. And if there's anything you'd like us to do for 350, please tell us. We're not outsourcing creativity, but we're at a loss.
Yeah. And if you're at Loose End Saturday morning, why not watch the superhero show on IGN?
Plug.
Oh, also, Prepare to Try is pretty good, I've heard. It looks good on paper. Let's see how it works.
When's that out? Yeah. He said a time that's out. When's that out?
Oh, Mondays and Fridays. Lunchtime.
Excellent.
If I do my job right.
And the IGN UK podcast out every Friday. Yeah. See you next week.
Hello, dear stranger. I'd like to introduce you to something new, or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, the Heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.